Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of verse 18, that's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be the child of the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. We would like to speak briefly on this subject this morning: the honor of fatherhood.
Amen.
The honor of fatherhood. For in the Bible, there are great examples concerning the topic of fatherhood. But the one that I want to focus in on today is Joseph, found in the first chapter of Matthew. We want to investigate Joseph because he was the man God chose to be the male role model. Jesus in the home. Think about it. God could have chosen any man at any time and place in history, in any country, to be the male role model to Jesus. But he chose Joseph because there is something significant about Joseph. There's something that stood out about Joseph to the point that God wanted it to be a standing influence on Jesus' life in the home.
Amen.
So those of us who are men and fathers today, there's a lot that we can learn from Joseph.
Yes.
So let me give you the context. This was the time that Jesus was about to be born, the Son of God.
Amen.
So Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And betrothed in their culture meant that they were born and engaged, but not married.
Yes.
They were committed and pledged to one another. But Mary ends up pregnant before they follow through on the marriage. So now Joseph is upset and tripping out because he knows this is not the thing. And because Joseph, he understands that manhood is not based on how many babies I can have before I get married. So he and Mary, they never come together before they got married.
Amen.
But she's pregnant. And Joseph is upset and tripping.
Yes.
So much that he decides that he's going to divorce her, put her down, break up with her because she's pregnant and the baby's not coming. And Mary is trying to explain to him that I have the favor of God, the spirit of God has overshadowed me, and what's inside of me is the Son of God. But Joseph didn't believe this. This is the setting. So if you would, let me explain to my brothers who are listening that we can learn a lot from this man, Joseph, who God chose to be the male influence of his sons. But the text tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. And to be righteous means to be in right standing with God. See, it's based on faith. Even today in the 21st century, the way that you get in right standing with God is to put your faith in the death, burial, or resurrection of Christ Jesus. You see, God had Jesus die on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our wrongs. And then God raises from the dead. And when you put your faith in God's plan of salvation, then you become a Christian. And then we're in what we call right standing with God. Yes, Joseph, he had right standing with God. Because here's the secret. How can I be a right man and I'm not in right standing with God? How can I raise my children right when I'm not in right standing with God? How can I continue to be wrong and think my children are going to turn out right? Although Joseph is in right standing with God, he's not right all the time. He's in right standing with God. But this time, Joseph is wrong.
Amen.
Joseph is a righteous man. But he's not a perfect man. He's a righteous father, but he is not a perfect father. See, there are no perfect men. There are no perfect husbands or fathers. He's righteous even though he's wrong. And I know he's wrong because he's wrong about his wife. He misunderstood his wife by accusing her of doing something that she didn't do. Then he goes on and he begins to mistreat her by trying to divorce her privately, thinking that if I put her away privately and nobody else knows about it, then I'll still maintain my righteousness in their eyes. I'll be righteous publicly if I put her away privately. And so many people, they think that it doesn't matter what I do privately, but what you do privately, let me let you in on something. Righteousness is both private and public. And I'm just trying to get you to understand that if you're in right standing with God, that means you're in right standing with God privately as well as publicly. In other words, your righteousness needs to follow your heart. It's easy to be righteous in church for 2 hours on Sunday, but that righteousness needs to follow your home and follow you every day, 7 days a week. Can I get a witness? So Joseph, he's righteous, but he's wrong in this case. He's wrong in how he sees this woman. He's wrong by misunderstanding his woman. He's wrong by mistreating his woman. But it still doesn't change the fact that he's righteous.
Amen.
Because even righteous people make mistakes and do wrong.
Amen.
But what I like about Joseph is that even though he's wrong, he's recognizes it. That's the thing about being in right standing with God. It's not that we don't mess up, but we recognize when we mess up. Sometimes we realize that something is wrong with the person who we look at it, and you know, folks, it's hard for them to recognize when they're wrong. But when somebody else is wrong, they're really quick in criticizing and pointing out they're wrong. It's hard for them to look at that person in the mirror and realize that they are wrong. But if it's somebody else, they don't hesitate to come to the conclusion that they're wrong. I don't know if it's ignorance or arrogance. Maybe some of us are so ignorant that we don't know right from wrong. Or maybe some of us are so arrogant and conceited that we can't admit when we're wrong. But what I like about Joseph this morning is that he shows us that even if you're a man in right standing with God, you will recognize when you're wrong and you'll right that wrong. Well, Pastor, how can I know if I'm right or wrong in certain situations? Well, the Word of God is the acid test in the life of a believer. The Word of God is the standard for life. For the Word is the authority for the life of a believer and the church. Joseph was able to learn that he was wrong because the angel of the Lord showed up and gave him a word from God. And when Joseph got the word of God, it revealed to him what was wrong in his situation. You see, we have to learn how to get the word of God in our lives. For that word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. How can a young person cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. And then we're told, God, have the word, hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, the word will still be here when this world is on fire. We must get in God's word to know whether we're right or whether we're wrong. So watch Joseph. Once he realizes he's wrong, he tries to right that wrong and get back with his woman. Why is that? It's because an angel of the Lord said, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for she's been telling you the truth. What's inside of her is of the Holy Spirit. It's conceived of God. Now, beloved, do you know why Joseph was tripping over Mary? See, Joseph was tripping because Mary had something in her that he had nothing to do with. The reason that Joseph had issues with Mary was because she had something unique and special inside of her. Mary had some potential and possibility on the inside that Joseph didn't have anything to do with. For there are some brothers who are so insecure that if they can help you get something or do something for you, they're all right with that. But if you get help from God, they have issues with that. But brothers, let me help you understand something this morning. God loves his daughters too much for them to depend solely on you for what they're going to get out of life. So every now and then what God does, he places something inside your woman that you didn't have anything to do with. Watch Joseph, he's talking about, I'm going to divorce her. Wait a minute, Joseph. You see, when you're righteous, Your righteousness should show up in your relationship. Jesus said, if you want to know if you're really one of my disciples, then you will love one another. And the Bible also says, how can you say that you love God when you can't even say good morning to the individual you were laying in bed with last night? You see, when you get it right with God, righteousness shows up in our relationship. Here's Joseph. Having the audacity to say, I'm going to break up with Mary. And the only reason we're talking about Joseph today is because of his relationship with Mary. If he had no relationship with Mary, we wouldn't be preaching about him this morning. You see? And that's why we're talking about him. Here's Joseph talking about, I'm going to break up with a woman with the favor of God on life. Breaking up with a woman with the anointing of the Lord on. She's got the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and she's full of Jesus. And this brother's talking about breaking up with her. Brother, this is what I need you to understand. That if you break up with the one that's right, the next one's going to be wrong. And she, it's hard enough to make it with the right one. But you're going to break up with the right one and try to have a successful marriage with the wrong one, it's not going to work. Well, Pastor, how do you know she's right? First of all, she's got the favor of God in her life. Secondly, God's spirit is on her. And she's full of Jesus. That's how I know she's right. But here's Joseph. See, Joseph is able to right his wrong because he got his counsel from God. And see, most of us, we get our counsel from secular songs that we hear on the radio, sung by people that don't know Jesus. People who aren't filled with the Holy Ghost and don't go to anybody's church. So what they do, they sing a song with a little point to it. And then you start applying it to your life and think everything is going to be all right. That's why back in the day, I used to go to the neighborhood barbershop. And every now and then you hear those barbershop conversations. This has been familiar, but I'll never forget. It was an older gentleman hollering about, I need a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed. He didn't make that up. That was something that he heard on the radio. So then he started running around the streets hollering about, I need a lady in the street and a freak in the bed. But let me clarify that. Brother, you don't need a freak in the bed. But what you do need is a woman with favor. While you're out there looking for a freak, you're missing out on a woman of faith. Because when the freaking is rocked out, the favor will keep going. I need to get a witness here. You see, a freak won't come see you in the hospital when you're sick. But a freak won't help you pay some bills. A freak won't help you raise the children in the admonition of the Lord. A freak won't submit unto you as unto the Lord. And a freak won't encourage you or the dreams that God has given you. I'll take a woman of favor over a freak any day. Give me a woman of favor and you can have all the freaks you want. You see, do you know how I know Mary was the right woman? Because Mary wasn't tripping when Joseph was.
Amen.
Brothers, listen to me. This is a wonderful example of fatherhood and motherhood. You don't need a woman who's tripping when you're tripping. because that's going to make for a long journey. You need a woman with enough Holy Ghost in her so that when you're tripping, she's not tripping. And then that's a two-way street. You need the Holy Ghost in you for when she's tripping, you're not tripping. Because if both of you are tripping, that's going to be a long, long journey. But Mary isn't tripping. Sisters, listen, when Joseph broke it off with her, she just started crying, "Why are you leaving me? How am I going to make it?" No, Mary understood something. She said, "If you don't recognize the Jesus in me, you must not be the right person for me." So when Joseph said, "I'm leaving," she said, "Bye-bye, adios, I'll see you later." She wasn't showing up on the construction site where Joseph was a carpenter stalking him. She wasn't in the parking lot to see whether or not he was coming out of the factory with another woman. She wasn't keying up his chariot or cutting his tires on his platinum rims. She said if he didn't see Jesus in her, she was just content with letting him go. But Mary said, "Although my man is wrong now, he's not wretched." She realizes that I do have a brother who's righteous, even though he's wrong this time. And I love Mary, because Mary didn't pass judgment on the totality of Joseph's life based on one incident. You see, when you read this after they hooked back up, Mary never threw this back in Joseph's face. And I've read the entire Bible, and I haven't seen where Mary said, "See, I told you I was right, and you call yourself right, acting a fool up in here." No, I haven't seen that. She didn't say that, because Mary understood that this was just an isolated incident. And it doesn't mean that my man is not good overall. But too many of us want to pass judgment on somebody based on one isolated incident and then pass judgment on the totality of their life. Sisters, just because your man messed up this time doesn't mean that he's totally messed up. Because if you tell the truth, you messed up as well. You messed up before. And then, brothers, you have to make sure that you pick the right one. Because if you don't pick one with the favor of God, who's full of the Spirit, she won't be able to handle the broken periods of your life. So the text teaches us that Joseph eventually went the right way. For in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, the angel tells Joseph, "Take the baby and his mother and go to Egypt, because Herod is trying to kill his baby." Joseph is dreaming, and an angel shows up to Joseph and tells him to take the baby and his mother. Go to Egypt, because Herod is trying to kill his baby. I don't want to miss it. Because every time that the angel spoke to Joseph, he was asleep. Joseph is dreaming. And this is because God couldn't get his attention until he was sleeping. But while he was asleep to the world, he was awake to God. He was unconscious to the things of the world, but he was conscious to the things of God. And the reason that many of us can't pick up on the things of God is that we're conscious to the things of the world and unconscious to
the things of God. We're too busy being awake to the things of the world and being asleep to the things of God. For if you let the word get into your situation of what God has for you, things are going to work out in a different direction. Listen to the word that was spoken to Joseph. Take the young child and his mother and head over to Egypt. Because fatherhood is important to every child's life. And we must understand that if you're going to have babies, you have to also raise the babies you have. You just can't keep dropping babies here, there, and everywhere. No, no. If you're going to produce them, you also have to provide for them. I'm preaching and y'all not hearing me this morning because fathers are an important influence in a child's life. Now I know that even the word father for some reason carries a negative connotation in the world today. We come up with all these other different terms, baby dad. But I'm here to tell you, father or baby daddy, it shouldn't have a negative connotation. Because fathers, you need to understand that when you're present in your child's life, it has a powerful influence. The child will be more likely to graduate from high school, less likely to do drugs or get caught up in alcohol. Your daughter will be less likely to get pregnant before she is married. Your child will be less likely to get caught up in game violence, less likely to have social or psychological problems. Because the presence of the father in the life of the child will go far. It's based on God's word. Because the angel told Joseph, take the young child and his mother. Head over to Egypt because Herod is trying to kill that baby. And we have forces in our community that are trying to kill our kids. And we need mama and dad to stand up in their children's lives and give them the protection that they need and make moves that they need to make. I know what it is. A lot of us feel that nobody's trying to kill our kids. Some of us, we're too hopeless. And we make too much money and we live in the right neighborhood. But wait a minute. This is Jesus, whose father is in right standing with God, whose mother had an experience with the Holy Ghost, and they're trying to kill him. So ignorance is killing our kids. Drugs, alcohol, you name it. And we need some parents who know how to make the right move to make sure that that child will make it. Listen, take the young child and his mother and go to Egypt. Repeat that, Pastor. Take that young child and his mother and go to Egypt. Because there's some stuff that's getting ready to break out. And your relationship with the mother is going to determine how your situation will play out. Because these brothers, they want to take the young child but leave the mother. Then you got some brothers who want to take the mother and leave the child. But this is what I love about Mary. Mary said, no, if you want me, you got to take the baby. Joseph, if you hook up with me, you got to take Jesus. First, Joseph was tripping because of the baby. Then the angel came to make it clear to him that if you get the mama, you get the baby as well. Because Mary had enough Holy Ghost to understand that you're not getting me without the baby. We're a package piece. And if they, if you get me, you get everything that comes with me. Take the young child and his mother. And I know I've got some single parents listening this morning. And they become pessimistic, saying, Pastor, you don't understand the difficulty that I face in my life. The father's not here. 60% of babies born in America are born to single parents, and that figure is 80% in the black community. And they're putting the rest of us fathers in a bad light. But what you don't understand is that God loves you so much that he has a plan for you. You see, he'll put somebody else in that child's life to be the father figure that they need in order to survive. It's a known fact that Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, but he was his theological father. Because Joseph have a relationship with God that will impact this child that has come into his situation. Joseph is not his biological father, but he takes a social responsibility because he's sensitive to what's happening to the children in Bethlehem. For in Bethlehem, boys who are 2 years and younger are dying. And Joseph says, even though I'm not your biological dad, I'm going to treat you just like you're my son. And I wish I had 2 or 3 people who could testify to the happy truth that, yes, your father may not have been there, but God sent some coach, some neighbor, some uncle to be the male role model in your life. Can I hear you say amen? That's what Joseph is saying. I'm going to raise him just like my son. It's Father's Day. And if nobody else can testify, I know I got 2 children who can. They seen a man who got up early every morning and went to work every day. A man that after he came home, read his Bible, and lived what he read in the Word. My son has learned what manhood is all about, and both of my children have seen a man going to church and giving God praise. And this is what we need, some men who know that they never would have made it if it wasn't for some other man who wasn't your father, who stepped in and became that role model. Can I get a witness? But you must know your history in order to receive your destiny. The angel told Joseph to take the baby in Egypt. This is not a by night direction of God. For the text says that it was prophesied. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, it reads, out of Egypt, I called my son. Egypt is in Africa. And I know you all saw that old Ten Commandments movie, where Moses went to Egypt and everybody was white. Nobody was black. He must have made a wrong turn because Egypt is in black Africa. And I know they call it the Middle East today, but Egypt was in Africa then and it's in Africa now. Jesus was born and Egypt is still in Africa. But God wanted Joseph to hide his son in Egypt, black Africa. And I know that all these pictures you see of Jesus. They show him with pale white skin, blue eyes, and blonde hair. That's Michelangelo's brother you're looking at. That's not Jesus. That's the model that was used to paint Jesus. Nobody has a picture of Jesus. But I do know that he went into Black Africa. But in the book of Revelation, it didn't say that there was blind and close. It said that his hair was like lamb's wool and his skin was like polished brass. But let's say that he was white. I don't believe it, but let's say he was white and he went to Egypt. It gets up to 120 degrees in Egypt. And if he was white, at the very least, he would have had a suntan. Or it went to Black Africa. You can't hide a white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired baby in Detroit, let alone easy. So we're living in a time where success is measured by moving away from black people. You hear so high about I'm the only black and myself is this big deal. You're probably the only crazy one in your self-sufficient also. That's not a sign of success. For God took his son early on and put him in Black Africa and exposed him to all types of people and cultures. God could have placed him anywhere, but no wonder Jesus could relate to anybody and he appreciates who you are because black is still you.
Yes,
and just because I choose to glory in my blackness doesn't mean that I try to degrade white.
Amen.
No, God made us the human race.
Yes.
But as I close, let's look at this close. When Herod dies, the angel goes to Joseph and tells him to bring the baby back to Israel. Herod dies, and the angel said, bring the child back. So the kings of East Africa went to Herod and said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We want to worship him. And then Herod said, well, when you find him, tell me because I want to worship him myself. Herod lied. He wanted to kill Jesus. So they were killing all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger. And it was Herod's way of saying, he'll be the king of the Jews over my dead body. For the kings were saying, who is he who is born king of the Jews? We want to worship him. And then Herod said, that will happen over my dead body. Now, watch how God made it happen. He made it happen when Herod died. You better be careful telling folks that it's going to happen over my dead body because God can make it happen. Oh, yes, he can. Herod died, and then Joseph takes Jesus. Look how this works. He takes Jesus and hides him in Egypt. He takes Jesus and he saves him in Egypt. Then 33 years later, Jesus saved Joseph. Don't miss this. Joseph saved Jesus early, but then Jesus saved Joseph late. Don't give up on your child. It may look bad right now, but if you save them now, somebody knows that he or she will save you later. Salvation is about giving another chance. It's about grace and mercy. Let me close this. There's a story of two brothers who were out bowling, and while they were bowling, a storm hit. When the storm came, they found themselves in the middle of the storm. The storm was so strong and powerful that it flipped the boat that they were in over, and they found themselves struggling for their lives. But let me tell you how they made the storm hit. They got flipped upside down, and they were rescued by taking a rope that was in the boat, and they tied that rope around the tree. Then they pulled out a cell phone and called 911. They were able to make it because during the storm, they tied themselves to a tree. They held on to that tree until deliverance came. And if you give your life to Jesus, Peter said he died on a tree. So when the storms come in your life, if you get flipped upside down, just hold on and tie yourself to a tree. Hold on to that cross of Jesus because help is on the way. If you tie yourself up with Jesus, Jesus will make a way out of no way. Do I have a witness? Do you know Jesus will make a way? Somebody say yes! He'll make a way. He's the way maker. And all we have to do to realize is that Jesus loves us. And it's an honor to be a father. And if you want to be an impressive father, you got to be a father who is right, who's in right standing with God.
Amen.
Amen.